more serious prohibition. And if you, I believe we discussed at the end of the shiur last time, there can be one of two reasons for the Yisra of Hakazar. Either because, again, Shemi Yechata Begecholim, but here there's a greater chance of it happening because, you know, it was on the fire, it took it off the fire, it cooled off somewhat, and it back out again. There's a greater chance of Shemi Yechata Begecholim. Or it's prohibited for a different reason. It's called Nirei Kimbavasha. Nirei Kimbavasha means it looks like it's cooking. It's not really cooking, but it looks like it's cooking. The Rabbanan said it's not allowed. There can be one of two reasons for the Yisra of Hakazar. Either because, again, Shemi Yechata Begecholim, but here there's a greater chance of it happening because, you know, it was on the fire, it took it off the fire, it cooled off somewhat, and it back out again. There's a greater chance of Shemi Yechata Begecholim. Or it's prohibited for a different reason. It's called Nirei Kimbavasha. Nirei Kimbavasha means it looks like it's cooking. It's not really cooking, but it looks like it's cooking. The Rabbanan said it's not allowed. Okay. Surely the very difference. Number three is a third prohibition. Now, you probably never learned about this one. You were learned about probably about Shehidim, about Achzara. That's it. What else? What could be worse than Achzara? What could be worse than Achzara is what we'll call Nisina Mechadosh. You put it on for the first time on Shabbos. First time. Obviously, we're talking about the food that we've already fully cooked in advance. But for the first time in the history of this Shabbos, it's not going on the fire. On Shabbos morning, just to give an example, it was spent the whole rest of Shabbos in the refrigerator. It was cooked on Thursday, put into the refrigerator Thursday night. It spent a nice, peaceful 36 hours in the refrigerator. And all of a sudden, Shabbos morning, bingo! I'm going to put it on the fire to heat up. That's called the Sinah Mechadosh. That's even a worse prohibition. Here too, there's a dispute why that way it is again. Maybe it's Shemi Yechata Begecholim. Cubed. It's worse than Achzara, it's much worse than Shia. Or, remember that Shia was Shemi Yechata, Achzara Shemi Yechata squared, and this is Shemi Yechata cubed. Or, no, maybe here it's really because of Nirek and Mavasha. So you can move up in your interpretation. Okay, now that we've gone through this, I think we discussed already last week, we started giving certain differences between the various reasons, which I believe we discussed a number of things. Number one, what if you're doing something through a goy, through a non-Jew? If a rule shvus to shvus for makom mitzvah mutter, you do a rabbinical prohibition through a goy for the sake of a mitzvah. I might give you that story about one day I have seven brachas on Shabbos with a band played by non-Jews. I told you the reason we don't do that is because the reason why you can't play music is because you may pick something. So we're afraid the guy will play the music and it'll break, the Jew will fix it. So you cannot apply the rule of shvus to shvus with makom mitzvah. Similarly, if hachazara, which means returning food to the fire on Shabbos, is prohibited because of Shemi Yechata Begecholim, then it would not be effective to allow a goy to do the hachzara for an obvious reason. The goy will do the hachzara, and then you wanted to get hot quicker, so you'll stoke the coals. So there would be no leniency. If, however, the prohibition of hachzara is near a kimavasha, it looks like cooking, then there might be a leniency through a non-Jew. We're going to review all this in a few times. Just going to give broad strokes. Next, when is hachzara? When does the prohibition of Achzara begin? So the obvious time is when Shabbos begins. That's when Achzara begins, of course, no question about it. That's how many say. There are more quotes of strict opinion. Siman Reish, for those who want to look these up. Siman Reish Nun Gimel. There are more quotes of one opinion which is as follows. To put something on the fire just before Shabbos. Just shortly before Shabbos. Not an hour before Shabbos. But just before Shabbos. Perhaps this has the stringency of Hachazara. Now this is a little bit strange. Before Shabbos, so how can there be a possibility of Hachazara before Shabbos? Very hard to understand. Well, it depends what you're worried about. If you worry about Nirek and Mavashel, then it makes absolutely no sense. No Nirek and Mavashel, it's before and before Shabbos. However, if it is a question of what we call Shema Yechata Begachol, you may come to stoke the coals, then one could argue that the same way as the rabbis were afraid to allow you to put something on the fire on Shabbos itself, to return it to the fire on Shabbos itself, for the Shema Yechata Begachol, then one could argue that they were afraid if you did it just before Shabbos, it might have the same stringency, because by the time it gets things start moving, it's already going to be Shabbos, and you may be Mechata Begachol on Shabbos. That's another possible distinction between the two reasons. Could be, do we have to worry about Achazara just before Shabbos or not? There are other possibilities, but I don't want to go into them right now because I want to get down to some nitty-gritty. By now you're probably, most you're probably confused, but I've been talking theory. We have the tachlis. You have a question first. Yeah. Yeah, can be the Achazara. By definition, Matzi B'Mushra Kol Tzorah, but it was not, according to what we passed him, it's a Bishul Mamish, Bishul Mena Torah. Shehiyah can apply to any food, even if it's not a B'Mushra Kol Tzorah. It's a very good question. Should there be any problem of Shehiyah if something is already B'Mushra Kol Tzorah? Well, you asked a very good question. A very good question. It's a dispute between two Tanoim, goes back 2,000 years in your question. And the dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch actually quotes two views on this issue. Okay? The famous Tanoim are Hananya and the Rabbanan. Rabbanan being, of course, the majority view. Hananya maintains that once the food is even minimally cooked, our famous Jesse James, Gemachol Ben Rusoi, then there's no problem of Shehiyah. That's all. Because once it's been half cooked, then maybe we can be confident to leave it on the fire. It won't get so excited. It don't even soak the coals. Leave it there. And it'll get cooked by itself the rest of the way. No problem. According to Hanani, the only part of the problem of Shehiyah is if it's not Machal Ben Rusoi, which is either a third or a half cook. That's Hanani's view. Rabbanan say no. Rabbanan, who's the majority view, say no. The problem of Shehiyah, even if it reached Machal Ben Rusoi. I'll go further than that. Even if it reached Mevushal Kol Tzarko, that's hard to believe, that's what they say. The only time that we say there's no problem of Shehiyah on an uncovered fire, according to the Rabbanon, is what sometimes it's called Mitztamek Viralo. It's so overcooked. It's going to become inferior, it's going to become dried up, it's going to become bad. Then there's no fear he's going to go stoke the coals because it's already overcooked, it's already mitztamek viralo. The first opinion Shulchan Aruch follows the Rabbanan, the second opinion Shulchan Aruch follows Hanani. And the Ramah calls the custom to follow Hananya. If you have any Ashkenaz, we can, if we so desire, follow Hanani. Sure, it's better to not to. Always for people more scrupulous, but remember, Ramah writes clearly, Minagu, the Hakel, the customs, the lenient, to follow Hanani. And therefore, you're not going to believe this. No one's going to believe you if you tell them this. No one's going to believe you. You can have food on a fire on Friday afternoon with no blech. No one's going to believe you tell them this. You're a reform rabbi. What are you talking about? As long as it's half cooked, according to Minig Ashkenaz, Minig Rambam, as long as it's half cooked, there's no need for a blech. Of course, once you take it off the fire, you won't be able to return it. Okay? Well, it tastes soup. Many people have chicken soup Friday night. I think that's a very common custom. Chicken soup. And you don't serve the chicken soup again on Shabbat. Now you finish it off Friday night. So what do? You can have the chicken soup, which is probably fully cooked before Shabbos, right? Could it even be Mitztamek Viralo chicken soup? I don't know, I've never made a scientific survey about it. But according to the meaning of Ramah, you can have chicken soup, certainly more than half cooked, on the fire, with absolutely no blech. And when you're ready to serve the soup, you take it off the fire, put it down, ladle it out, as we discussed before, and have consumed the soup to your heart's content. This is a dish everybody agrees to. The dispute is if it's not yet the Talmud Barala. If it's the Talmud Barala, then everybody agrees it's permissible. It still could be cooked and it would taste better. So then there's a question, and the minute it's to be made, well, anyway, as long as it's half cooked. Chicken soup has to be half cooked before Shabbos comes in. Yes?
Isn't that what challenges, especially
Helen?
If it's one,
if
it's in a crock pot.
Crock pot. Crock pot.
Like, it's not such a crazy idea.
What is a crock pot? Who knows what a crock pot is? You know, 20 years ago, no one knew what a crock pot was. Now everyone knows what a crock pot is. A crock pot. Do I have to explain? Everyone knows what it is, right? You make a challenge with a crock pot. That's what it is. You have a pot and you put the chol in and it cooks. And on Shabbos you take out the chol. Most situations the crock pot, as was correctly stated in the question, has no blef. In many crock pots, you really can't put a blef. It's one piece, it's two pieces. Let's say a one piece crock pot. It's almost a mat. How are you going to put a blef there? Because the what are you going to do? No separation between the pot and the source of heat. It's all one big piece. It's hard to imagine how you can make it. You could make a blef if you want to put the food into a different container. But generally speaking, if the food's in the crock pot itself, there's really very little way to have a blef. So what do you do? No problem. As long as the chol is half cooked before Shabbos, you may leave the crock pot on before Shabbos. And you may take the food out of the crock pot on Shabbos. Only thing is, if you take food off the out of the crock pot, you can't put it back to the crock pot. Because that would be considered hafzara. And hafzara, which you'll see soon, has an absolute condition of having a covered flame, which you don't have. By the way, even though the flame is covered by the element itself, you don't see an exposed flame in a crock pot, we don't consider that to be a proper covering. The reason is obvious. The reason for the covering is to make something recognizable. It's a heker, something which is unusual. The person won't mistakenly stuff the coal. Obviously, if the crock pot looks that way 7 days a week and nothing unusual about what you're doing, then that's not considered to be the equivalent of a blef, even though it's covered by the pot itself, the sheet itself. So you're right. As we do in my house every week, we make chont, and the chont, we hope, is half cooked before Shabbos. And then we serve the chol on Shabbos. And this works because of the fact that we follow Hananya. Hananya is the one that they have cooked. Permissible to leave it on the fire from before Shabbos. There's no prohibition of Shehiyah in such an instance. That's exactly what we do. As a matter of fact, you know, somebody who's with the Shabbosim, when my children come home from yeshiva and they start playing with the chol at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I somebody say, what are you crazy? What are you doing? It has to be at least half cooked. Before Shabbos, otherwise you have a major problem. More than that, I have a bigger problem in my house. A much bigger problem in my house. My boys raid the chol Friday night. Nothing wrong with raiding the chol. That's not a problem. As long as it's fully cooked. But if the chol is not fully cooked by when they raid, 11 o'clock at night. Let's say 11 o'clock at night. If it's not fully cooked by 11 p.m., and they start playing with the chol, it's a very serious shalom. Because it's not fully cooked when you start taking things out and stirring things up a little bit. That's a question of Issa Min HaTorah. Because if you stir things or take things out, you may cause a hastening of the official process. That's a worse problem. I always give them warning to make sure it's half cooked before Shabbos and fully cooked before they raid. Covering it back up would also be a problem. If it wouldn't be fully cooked by 11 p.m., when you pick it up, you can't put it back, you can't cover it again because covering keeps the heat in and you're now hastening the cooking process. That's correct.
So
if it were not fully cooked,
but for some reason, let's say one, let's say
you
spent 2 hours eating,
I guess in theory, you're right, but that's, I wouldn't, that's a chancy business. Anyway, yes? One or two pieces. And a two-piece crock pot, you could take a big piece of tinfoil. You have to be as big as this desk. I mean, very big. And you put it, you have to two different pieces on how to work it. you put it in over here, and one from east to west, one from north to south, and you put the thing in, and it's completely covered and sticking out on all sides. So it's a heker. That could be done. That would be considered a legitimate blef for a two-piece crock pot. Just last week I talked about a one-piece crock pot having a blef. How so? Because someone told me that the people have, instead of putting the chon in the crock pot, they directly have what they call a food bag or something. What expression they use? Food bag? What's the right expression? Food bag. And they put the, is that the right word? Different word? Oven bag, maybe was it? Oven bag. You put the chon in the oven bag, put the oven bag into the one-piece crock pot. Then if you line that one-piece crock pot with tinfoil, the second line of tinfoil, and you have the chon is in the oven bag, so the oven bag is like a pot, right? And the crock pot is like an oven, and in between is the tinfoil. So you can even have a less than a one-piece crock pot. The person was asked was concerned from a different angle. It would save you the hassle of cleaning out the crock pot every month of Shabbos. It's kind of like it's a very baked on, this kind of stuff. With the oven bag, then it would solve you all the problems. Sounds like a good idea to me. It's even philosophically better if you should decide to add tinfoil. Probably make it even cleaner, because the oven bag probably has something coming out, but nothing. It's really not for. Tinfoil is even better. Yes? Very good question. How do you measure half-cooked challenge? We know what it means. We know what a half the size of the desk, that's 3 feet, so 1.5 feet is half. Half a dollar is 50 cents. What do you mean half-cooked challenge? What do I mean? So many of us have interpreted to mean half the time of cooking. It takes X hours. It takes 4 hours to cook the challenge completely. Then 2 hours is considered to be half-cooked. I would take cook chalk. Yeah, I mean, I would take cook chalk. Do you know? I know. Every chalk is different.
Why
do
you leave it?
It's like, so.
Isn't
it
more you
cook
it
than it is? I don't know. I don't eat chalk for potato shoes. I think it's when we have chalk, when I grew up, we didn't have any chalk. My mother never made chalk. My wife never made chalk. All of a sudden, a few years ago, my boys come up to yeshiva. We have to have chalk. This is part of the religion. And now we have chalk. Once we have cholent and the cholent on the table, and they have to eat something. Because you see, it says in the poskim that the chalamor, as the rest of the Sefer Shabbos, that someone who doesn't eat cholent, we consider him to be afraid that maybe he's a min, he's an apokairos, he's a karoy. Serious. Because the karoyim said, lo savaru eish b'chol mosh hoseichem yom ha-shabbos. We interpret that you're not allowed to light fire on Shabbos. They sat in the dark on Shabbos. No light, no little fires, no candles, nothing. The Balaam, all right, so whoever doesn't eat chol, because we're afraid of an apocryphal. So if you don't have the chol, we don't have it, I don't have to worry about it. But now if we have it, put it in front of me, I have a hot potato, so that no one should think that I don't believe in the effectiveness of the Chazal say it. I think I was. Okay. All right, that was just all a side point, by the way. This is because you asked me a question about this story of Hananya. Now. Let's go to Hazara, which is, of course, much more common. Halacha l'maisa, there are the famous five conditions. Let's start talking tachas before we get to the lumbus and everything. The big five. The big five conditions are found in the poskim, I think, follows. In order to allow you to put the food back on fire and Shabbos, you have to satisfy five conditions. Let's go into five conditions. Number one, the food has to be completely cooked beforehand. That's obvious, otherwise you have a problem of vision. Number two, the food has to be warm. It's alone, it's not in the garden. Not completely cooled off, cooled down. There's a big dispute, which we'll get to later. Why is that necessary? Is that an official problem or a Hazara problem? We'll count that shortly. Number three, and here's the major word, the fire must be covered. The fire must be covered. And the common way that we cover it is we call it a blef. Ah, you got it. A blef. A blef, the Yiddish word is a covering, that's all. Let well, that be a blef. It could be tinfoil, it could be asbestos. Why he was hiding on asbestos, I have to be careful now, I shouldn't whatever it is, any covering which is unusual, which is not there normally, would be considered to be a proper covering, a heker. That's condition number three. Condition number four is that when the food is removed from the fire, in your hand, hold the other. You don't just put it down and leave it there. And fifth and final, you need what we call da'ato la'hafzir. When you remove the food from the fire, you have in mind at the very beginning to return it to that same fire. So if you satisfy all these five conditions, review again. One, fully cooked. Two, warm. Three, a covered fire. Four, it's still in your hand. Five, you have intention to return it to the fire. If you satisfy all those five conditions, you may return food to the fire on Shabbos. So therefore, for example, you have a kettle of water, and you wish to pour out a cup of tea, a cup of water into a cup, and return it back to the left. No problem. The water is fully cooked in the before Shabbos. Much more, the warm is still very hot. The fire is covered with a glare. It's always in your hand, you never let go. When you took it off, you plan to put it right back again. So that's the theory is. That's why we do hachzara when it comes to water, when we make tea. Or we make tea, whatever. Whatever we're doing with the hot water. Is that clear? This is the clear, simple situation of hachzara amu teres. Permissible hachzara. Yes? Can you or can't you? I don't hear what you're saying.
Well,
you want to know? Okay. A crock pot, a regular traditional crock pot, one-piece crock pot, is considered not covered fire. Because although the fire is not visible, but that's the normal way of its use. There's no hecker, there's nothing which is distinguished, which is supposed to remind you not to adjust it. That's the problem.
No, but what about
one-piece crock pot? Well, the two-piece crock pot as it stands is also not permitted to return for a similar reason. That's a pot on the fire. The bottom piece is the fire and the inside is the pot. You have to put something between the pot and the fire, like a blend. That's why I mentioned about tinfoil. Follow? Yes? That's a very big question. You slide things around the blend. We will discuss that at great length. I'm not up to that yet. So far, so good. So far, so good. So far, great. That's terrific. Okay. But still no way that we have so far to take food from the refrigerator and put it on a blech. Right? Impossible for many, many reasons. It fails on, how many counts? So far, it fails presumably on at least two counts. One, it's cold. Your refrigerator works, right? It's cold. And two, you didn't hold it in your hand. So you strike out twice. Even when you took it off the fire on Friday night, you had a mind to put it back on Shabbos. So you have conditions 1, 3, and 5. You're missing condition 2 and 4. So it's two strikes against you. Don't forget it. We'll come back with it, forget it a little bit later. But so what do you do? What do you do? You want to heat up cold food on Shabbos, dry cold food. What do you do? Is there any heaven in the world to do it? Take it from the refrigerator, you know, in my opinion, there is. Now this is my opinion, shared by Rabbi Eider. One of the books you look at, I'll say that for Shabbos, you know what it looks like, beautiful blue book. And it's against the Sefer, the Shmir Shabbos. Yes. I'm about to tell you, it's like him, but not against him. Okay? And I think he's right. Blue. And this is what I tell people. If you want to heat some cold food up on Shabbos, the way to do it is to purchase a non-adjustable hot plate, which is intended for heating and not intended for cooking. If you do so, in my opinion, it's permissible to reheat it, dry food, of course, only, on Shabbos. Let me explain to you what the logic is. The two potential prohibitions against Hachzara do not apply. Let's go one by one. One prohibition is because you may stoke the coals, or adjust the flame, adjust the fire, adjust the level. There's nothing to adjust. It's not adjustable. It's one setting. cannot adjust it, there's nothing to worry about adjusting it. The second problem is it looks like cooking. Something which is used exclusively for reheating and not for cooking at all doesn't look like cooking either. Neither reason for the law applies. I see no reason why this law must be kept. And therefore, it seems to me that it's permissible to put a cold piece of chicken, a kugel, which is in the refrigerator, even if it was in the refrigerator since Thursday, which is called the Sina Mechadash, even that's permissible. For the same reason, the two prohibitions don't, the two reasons for the prohibition do not apply. Doesn't look like cooking, and there's no possibility of an adjustment. So that's my shock. I want to play this first because you shouldn't get so depressed when it comes to, you know, to criticize what other people are doing. But at least I gave you a way out before we started. This is the way to read food on Shabbos if you want to do so. Yes. Sure. You put it next to the blend. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Yes. Easy come, easy go. You cover the dollar, you want to cover the dollar. Yes? People are very learned here. Today, Ral Gabi, today we'll discuss that later too. I have my piece to say on all these things. Just be patient. Yes? I have a letter. Don't be back, I still don't understand. Yeah? Even if it's hot enough to cook potentially, it's still okay. Never used for cooking. In other words, the definition of cooking is yatzel lettuce. If it's not yatzel lettuce, I'll never cook. That's all I understand. I believe that all hot plates can reach yatzel lettuce. It may depend on how you measure, but probably can. Despite that fact, it's permissible. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Eider has an interesting point about that. He quotes the truth from Rabbi Moshe. The Rabbi Moshe is permissible. But in Rabbi Moshe's expression, it's a little bit unclear whether Rabbi Moshe meant that it's something which is a hot plate which is not used for cooking ordinarily, or a hot plate which simply cannot cook. So I called Rabbi Eider at the time, I asked him, what does this mean? He said he spoke to Rabbi Moshe, and Rabbi Moshe told him what he meant was, as long as it's not usually used for cooking, it's all right. Even though the phrase that he wrote in the tshuva does not seem to indicate that, that's an oral testimony from Rabbi Eider, the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein himself. So that's okay as well. Yes? We'll come to that. Although we'll see, your case is better than her case. We'll see later why. Okay, yes? No. Adjustable hot plate is no good because you may stoke the coals, because you may raise the temperature. No good. So what? The boil goes on and the boil comes off. That's right. Left goes on, left comes off. That's why left is also insufficient in this circumstance. Left requires five conditions. You haven't met all of them over here. Yes? Up, so then you can move it with your hand. So if you break it, then that's no longer adjustable, then it's okay. It's easy to buy non-adjustable, but if you break it, then you're right, then it's okay. All right. Now that we've said this, and you can rest assured they have a way to eat up food on Shabbos, if you so desire, let me express myself more freely. There's a major problem that exists in today's world. People are doing things which, to my mind, they should not be doing. Let me explain to you what some of these things are. It has two conditions, conditions 4 and 5, found in the Shulchan Aruch. What's the point of those conditions? Everything has to have logic. If it's illogical, you won't ever remember anything. What's the logic? Why do you have to have conditions 4 and 5 of Oda Biyodo, Data Lahavsir, it should be in your hand and not put it down, and you should be having in mind to return it? Again, it's very simple. Tendencies which the Chazal have in a recovered fire is that it's labeled as Hakzor. Labeled as a return. Return means it was on the fire Friday night. It was removed, now it's being returned on Shabbos. Return Friday night. It's taken off Shabbos, return Shabbos. It's labeled as a return. However, according to the Pesach of the Ramah, if you put it down and then you put it back again, that's not a return. That's in the scene that makes others. You're starting from scratch. Once you put it down, there's been a discontinuation of the initial Shehiyah, which was done before Shabbos. Then you gotta start all over again. That's not called Achzar anymore, it's called the Sina Mechadosh. Similarly, even if you didn't put it down, but you had in mind when you took it off not to return it, so your mental state not to return it, that itself discontinues the original Shehiyah, and I gotta start all over again. So the Ramal, that if either of those two conditions, four or five, is missing, the law will label as a Hachzara, now labeled as a Sina Mechadosh. It's not allowed, period. Even though the fire is covered. Even though the food is hot. Yes?
Is that it when you're taking it off?
You're
still holding it, but you put it down?
That's a very good question. I didn't discuss that yet. What happens is you put it on the table, but you're still holding on with your hand. So the Pesach Halacha is, if you put it down on the table, not on the floor, put it on the table, and you're still holding on with your hand, it's considered as if you're holding it in the air. What they do in many summer camps, when they raid the shul Friday night, shul pot is so heavy, it's so hard to hold on to, they barely get it over to some kind of table. And then they have one guy in charge of holding on for dear life. He lets go, they're going to chop off his hand because there's no shul the next day. So he has to hold on for dear life for that handle. And while he's doing that, it's his full-time job, someone else is dishing out. And then when you finish, they put it back on. That's what we assume is okay. Okay. Now, this is the opinion of the Rambo. However, there are some who disagree and who maintain that these two conditions, you don't need both, four and five, you can manage either four or five. According to this more lenient view, the only time is considered to be the discontinuation of the previous Sharia is if you have two strikes against you, namely, it was put down on the table or the floor, and besides that, you did not have in mind to return it to the original fire. If both are lacking, then and only then is it considered to be a discontinuation. If you're missing only one and you have one, then it's still labeled as a hachzara and would be permissible. That's the view of certain lenient posts. And the Mishnah Berurah and others say that although we should not rely on this lenient, more lenient view, but we call it the Shas HaTzak. What does Shas HaTzak mean? That's right. It's a time of difficulty, no hot food, something of this nature. Then there's room to be lenient in the circumstances.
So either or.
Either if you forgot to have in mind when you took it off, or if you had in mind to put it back, but you put it by mistake, let go on the table. By the way, if you let go on the floor, then most posts do not accept the leniency. If you let go on the floor, then most say that even if it's down to the hands here, it wouldn't help. That's what most say. That's an important matter. We'll come back to later what that means. Very important for us. Okay. Now. Got it right now. Why should I waste any time? What happens if you put your food on Friday night? That's the condition number two, otherwise it's not going to be a complete presentation. You put it down Friday night to... Okay. Condition number two was if you warm. Why? Why must it be warm? I already mentioned before there are two possibilities why it must be warm. One, if it's not warm, you're guilty of cooking. Two, if it's not warm, it's a problem we call Hachzara. Big difference. What will happen when it comes to solid food? We mentioned last week and the week before, and if the food is... liquid and it's become completely cooled down to room temperature, then we follow the restrictive view in that case. There's a problem of what we call what? Bishalach Abishal Balak. An official problem. So therefore there are some who interpret that the to interpret that the reason why the food has to be hot is because otherwise you're in violation of bishul potentially. And therefore, if it would be a solid, it wouldn't have to be hot. If it would be a solid, it ain't bishul lacha bishul. It wouldn't have to be hot. Condition number two wouldn't apply to solids. You know who says so? No less an authority than the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that condition number two, it has to be warm, it's not really a Hamzara condition. It's a bishul condition, like condition number one, it has to be fully cooked. So condition number two, when it comes to liquids, it has to be somewhat warm. But it would not apply to foods. Now, I'll give you the following. Great. Let's say it's a shasat chak. The shasat chak, you know, there's no alternative, and there's this problem, this thoris. Let's make the following. 2 plus 2 is 6. Let's just figure it out. All you have to do, take your food Friday night, chicken, you have your kugel, you finish it, but now it's room temperature. Put it in the fridge, it shouldn't spoil. Shabbos morning, put it back on the blech. What's the problem? Let's go through the five conditions. Okay? First, is it fully cooked? Yes. Second, is it warm? No, does it matter? According to the Vilna Gaon, it doesn't matter. It's dry. Third, is the fire covered? Yes. Fourth, is it still in your hand? No. Fifth, did you have in mind to return it? Huh? So at first glance, if you want to rely on the more lenient views, let's say it's enough of either or, the first number four and five, and combine that with the view of the Vilna Gaon, and the idea of having warm food is only because of the problem of Vishnu, would not apply to solid. You put those two leniencies together, at first glance, you have at least a shasat chak, a difficult circumstance way to avoid the entire problem of eating food on Shabbos. At first glance. At second glance, it's not true. I'll tell you why. Not true because of a combination of two facts. One, the leniency only applies, as I implied earlier, if you put it down on a chair, on a table, on a thing, on a counter, not if you put it on the floor. That's what he found in the Sharatim. That's number one. Number two, why is a floor different than any other surface? That's the answer. It's cold. There's nothing against the floor. The floor is a beautiful place. What's wrong with the floor? That's very cold. Relatively speaking, it's colder the floor than on the top of the table. Well, if the floor is cold, what? Tavachomer, the fridge is cold. So therefore, it seems to me that the fridge is to be treated as on the floor. On the floor, there is no leniency whatsoever that I know about. And therefore, this trick will not work. It will not work. It sounded great, right? If you're willing to accept the Vilna Gaon's version of condition 2 and the sack of the Shabru and others that you need condition 4 or 5 suffices, you're home free. At least Shas HaTchak. But I don't like it for this reason. The floor, there's no cooler than Shas HaTchak, and the refrigerator is like the floor. It's worse than the floor. So then that's out. However, there's still one more trick deep in the sleeve. One more trick. That's the opinion of the Ran. The Ran is quoted by the Rambam. You really shouldn't follow it, but some people did follow it. That is a problem. Condition 4 and 5, the Ran claims, do not pertain, are not required, when the food was on the fire at the onset of Shabbos. That's the Ran claims, based on the Yerushalmi. Could be based on a mistake in the Yerushalmi, the wrong text, whatever it may be. That's what the Ran says. There are more quotes that they shouldn't do it, and some do it. If that's the case, then as long as you're willing to assume that the Vilna Gaon is correct, then you could, in fact, take the chicken and kugel, those on the fire Friday night, put it, after you serve it for supper, put it in the fridge, and then take it back and put it on the blech. on Shabbos morning, that would be a legitimate opinion according to the Ramah and the Ram. Because conditions 4 or 5, according to these interpretations, do not apply to a case in which the food was on the fire at the onset of Shabbos. Only limited to a case where they take it off the fire at that critical juncture. Soloveitchik Zatzal, in the years gone by in Boston, many decades ago, when Shmirat Shabbos was almost impossible. I was told that there was 6 Shomer Shabbos in Boston in the Rosh Hashanah. I'm not mistaken. I heard this from, I think it was from Rabbi Meisel, but I'm not sure. There were 6 Shomer Shabbos people in the whole city of Boston, not just actually, under the age of 70, or under the age of 60. In other words, in Boston, when the Rosh came, and 60 years ago, so everyone was being like, unfortunate in America, and everyone was just leaving Orthodox. It was terrible. There was no one with Shomer Shabbos. No one went to work on Shabbos. There were only 6 Shomer Shabbos under 60, something like that, in Boston when he came. And then he said, 3 of them became his brothers-in-law. That's how I heard the story. Two married his sister, one married his wife's sister. I know the 3 of them. The other 3 were, no one tell me this, that was it. So, you know, it wasn't the time to start applying all the, making it harder for Jews to keep Shabbos. So at that difficult junction, the Rav said, well, maybe you can rely upon the opinion of the Ran. And the Ramah, that quoted all the Ramahs, we shouldn't rely on it, but you know, and therefore he was expressed a leniency in this regard. It became a little bit widespread, he taught it in the yeshiva. Seems to me, though, that that's really not something which we should be doing 60 years later. We've come a long way. We should try to follow what the Ramah himself says, which is not to rely upon this. And therefore, I don't approve of this. However, if there is a body of opinion which permits it, if someone you know does it, like your mother or something like that, you can't make an issue over it, you can't fight over it, because there is one view that permits it. But certainly you should, if you get married, Mr. Shem, you should not do it in this fashion. Yes? Friday night, as soon as Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in. No, that's how you learn the Shabbos in Yerushalmi that way. I'm not sure what the logic is. I don't know what it is. The Ramah himself said they did it in Europe that way. The Ramah said, I'll read it to you. The Ration and Deal is the days. There's the Ramah. Says so, and then he shouldn't rely on it. One second. What's his opinion? He says, "V'chein nog and lahokel." Some have an acceptable lenient view, but b'tov lahachmir. The Shulchan Aruch comes to Ramah himself, who quotes the opinion of the lenient. The lenient one says he shouldn't rely on this Ran, and others say the Ran never permitted it, and some say the Ran was a mistake. Therefore, you really shouldn't rely upon this. Okay. Now, yes. Okay, different. But I get. But that's why I gave you a way out. It's $7.99. You buy yourself a non-adjustable hot plate, and then that's big. That's all. That's a big deal. Yes. Yes, you need to prove that opinion. I mean, it's hard for me to say total no-no, yes? Hot is not made for cooking. As a rule, hot is not made for reading. Now, what's the story with this Kedera al-Gabi Kedera? He's talking about this Kedera al-Gabi Kedera business. Well, truth to tell, Kedera al-Gabi Kedera is a machloek. Does it work or does it not work? Shulchan Aruch has 2 opinions. One place says Yeshomer and Yeshomer. I don't like it. Yeah, who am I to not like it? The chutzpah on my part, not the Shulchan Aruch holds 2 opinions. Boy, I'll tell you why I don't like it. In my opinion, this issue of the Kedera al-Gabi Kedera is something which goes back to our very initial discussion. And I think the two opinions are fighting as to why Hachzara is prohibited. Is Hachzara prohibited because it looks like cooking? Or is Hachzara prohibited because you may soak the coals? Let me explain. If Hachzara is prohibited because it looks like cooking, then Kedera al Gabi Kedera is permissible. Why? If you look at the post and they explain, Kedera al Gabi Kedera has two things going for it. Number one, it's unusual. It's an unusual form of cooking. And number two, it's indirect. The fire heats the water of the soup, and the soup heats the meat or kugel on top. Unusual plus indirect. So therefore, it doesn't really look like cooking. However, if it's a matter of what? Shema yechata de gechola. You may stoke the coals. I'm sorry to tell you that a kedera, agave kedera, is nothing unusual. It's not that it will not prevent you from stoking the coals, because the coals are just, they're there like all the time. I'll prove it to you. 1 second. Chuck says later on that as far as Shehiya is concerned, which we discussed earlier, kedera, agave kedera, it doesn't work. Prohibited to do Shehiya, kedera, agave kedera. Now Shehiya, we know why it's prohibited. Why? The fact that Shehi is prohibited Kedera Gabi Kedera indicates that there is a problem of Shem Yechata V'Gacholim with respect to Kedera Gabi Kedera. So therefore it seems to me that it would be prohibited according to this understanding to return to Kedera Gabi Kedera. The fact that there are Meshuvanot clearly assumes that it's prohibited because of Shem Yechata. Shulchan Aruch himself writes it's permissible. Kedera Gabi Kedera one view. Fisha Ein Derech Bishul Bekat. He says it explicitly why. Not in the way of Bishul. And obviously that presupposes the prohibition of the Shem of Derech and Mevashim. But there are more good all that way. I'll tell you why. There are more, as I mentioned to you before. A, prohibited to a non-Jew. As I told you before, that seems to indicate there's no heter of Shavus to Shavus because it means it's Shem Yechata. A problem even before Shabbos. It's of course an immediate heating of the coals right away as soon as Shabbos comes in, the stoking of the coals. So the two proofs of the Rambam holds, the reason is Shem Yechata V'Gacholim. Therefore, it seems to me, again, it's my own personal hang up, that according to the Rambam, Kedera Agabe Kedera should be prohibited. However, since the Shulchan Aruch caused two opinions, there are those who accept a lenient view. I can't, you know what am I gonna say? I can't say too strongly against it. I would say though, and be a problem even before Shabbos. It's of course an immediate heating of the coals right away. As soon as Shabbos comes in, it's stoking up the coals. So the two proofs of the Rambam holds, the reason is Shem Yakata Degatol. There, what seems to me, again, it's my own personal hang up, that according to the Rambam, Kedera Agabe Kedera should be prohibited. However, since the Shulchan Aruch calls two opinions, there are those who accept the lenient view. I can't, you know, what am I going to say? I can't say too strongly against it. I would say, though, in answer to your question before, that the Kedera Agabe earned is much better. Why the Kedera Agabe earned is better than the Kedera Agabe Kedera? It's not adjustable. So if it's not adjustable, then it should be okay. There's only one setting to an urn. So therefore, if you want to eat up something Kedera Agabe Kedera, the way to do it is put on top of the urn. It's indirect, obvious, abnormal, and it's one of both conditions, both those characteristics. It's abnormal, it's indirect, and there's no Shem Yechata. I should add before I take a question that I'm very much against double boilers. Because double boilers, although they are indirect, but it's very, very normal. I'll tell you a story. When I got married, one of my aunts bought us a set of what they call, I think it's called barbaware. Barbaware. So, of course, she brought it to the wedding, you know, barbaware. And shortly after the chasna, we started unpacking it. It would have been false, and I told my wife, this pot is broken. The pot was like this. It couldn't stand. I said, what kind of pot is this? There's no flat surface. She started to laugh at me. It was a double boiler, which at the top part has to be, you know, it fits in like this. I never used a double boiler. I never heard of it. But apparently it's a very popular thing. They're selling billions of them. If I got it for a wedding present, there must be millions and millions of being sold, a normal way of cooking. And as such, you may not use it on Shabbos because it's normal. You can't say it there official the time. No? Yes. Every rabbi has had his own hang-ups. I'm telling you, this is my hang-up. And in my opinion, it's two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. No question about that.
Yeah, but obviously.
But except to follow the Maldivian view. My personal hang-up is that this should depend upon the two shilas. I bring a proof of Shahir. Therefore, if one better more, I don't see how it would be coming out. But again, I repeat again, it's only my hang-up. Yes? That takes care of Shem Yechata up to a point. As far as Shahir is concerned, the Blef takes care of Shem Yechata. As far as Hafizara is concerned, there's a greater chance of Shem Yechata. The Blef cannot take care of that in all circumstances. A little bit, but not. You uncover. So unless you have all the conditions filled, if you're missing a few of the conditions, then you have the problem with the Sina Mechadish, for example. No. If you make your own version of a double boiler, you can do something backwards. You take a pot of shalom. You have a pot of shalom in the fire. Okay? Pot of shalom in the fire. You put the kugel on top of the shalom. That's there. I got to make it there. That according to the one of the instruments are permissible. I have my own hang-up, but leave me out of the picture. But it's not for me. That's the one that finish the Shulchan Aruch. That's okay. It's abnormal and indirect. I didn't say empty pot. No. Every example I gave was the bottom pot was filled with food. If the bottom pot is empty, then all it is a blef. The rabbis used to call it a crooked blef. Yeah, I know. Let me explain to you. It says Aruch says it's a bit of what we call a kadera reikon. It's an empty pot. You put it on top of the empty pot, but you can't put it down. So the question is, why is this kadera gabi kadera? And this is, you want to look at it's ratio of gimel siv gimel. There I got me there, it's based on the Gimel Sif page, on the very next page. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah asked the question, how do you distinguish between the Chorus Sosa Sif page, the Machaber, the Gimel Sif page is contradictory. He quotes the correct answer, in my opinion, from the Free Begadin, which is, it depends if the bottom pot is empty or full. If the bottom pot is empty, then it's just a crooked bluff, nothing, just a regular bluff, and therefore, it has the five conditions filled. The bottom pot is full, then it's different for the reasons we described earlier. That's how the Mishnah Berurah passes, the Halacha passes, if one of you have got it. For some unknown reason, at least unknown to me, there are many rabbis today who disregard, all of a sudden disregard the Mishnah Berurah, they usually always follow. And you say, if it's put on a pan and upside down, there's no problem. We have a Vav Yosef passes that way, that's permissible. I don't understand how even the Shmir Shabbat is something a little bit like, I don't know what is it, I forgot exactly what the Lashon is. Anyway, we don't, I can't believe it.
Sometimes it's from
Shmir Shabbat. Like, I don't understand, they wrote a letter about this one also.
Did you walk into the Rambam story and everybody
uses it? I don't understand. My opinion is a no-no. I didn't find it. Hold on, hold on. I don't see it right now, but I remember something vaguely about that. Shemir Shabbos has some kind of leniency. I don't understand it. I don't see it right now. It talks something about taking a pan, put it upside down. I don't know the state of my heart. I used to know my heart. I got it. Somebody's leaning over this man. I don't understand how. Here it is. Yaniach Afilu B'Shabbos Kedera Reikonis. Yaniach HaSakadera Aleha, he permits it. How can that be? I don't understand. This sounds like boom. I can't understand. And then after finishing at the end, he's Mitzarach Ian, look in the Reish Nun Gimel Sif Gimel and the Bir Aloch, which is absolutely prohibited. I don't understand this, man. I don't understand. They wrote him a letter about this too. I don't understand this.
Does he quote it? I mean, does he
footnote it? Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah Berurah Pei Aleph talks about Kedera Reikonis. He ignores the Bir Halacha on the same page by the same author. I don't understand this. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Yes? A warming door? Drawer? That the caterers use or that people try to find out? Warming doors. Please describe me what a warming drawer is. I don't know. Is the heat electrical? Off the oven. The drawer stays warm? I don't know. I never saw it. I never heard of it. I don't know what it is. I can't to respond. I don't know. I give you the guidelines. The guidelines we're given should be able to give you your own insight to figure out what to do with this warming drawer. I don't know what it is. I will tell you as follows. All we discussed about Hakzara refers to Hakzara is called Al-Gabe, on top of something. But Hakzara into an oven. Well, it seems to me there's no way you can put food, even if all the conditions are satisfied, all five conditions, into an oven. You're done, but if you try, it would not be allowed. Even what we call shehiyah in an oven is a significant problem. But I'll tell you what I think is permissible. This is very important. Listen carefully. It happens in my house every Friday night. How to avoid having the fire on the shops. You know, various reasons for many years. hot water, out of an urn, shelling, out of a crock pot. You know, we're in the modern society, you know, modern society. But one problem remains. What's that? The holy chicken soup. The holy chicken soup. What do we, how do we keep the, or not only the chicken soup, but even the chicken and the kugel and all the food that you want to keep out for Friday night. How do you do it? How do you do it? What do you do? So what's done is more or less as follows. The food is cooked right before Shabbos. And it's very hot just before candlelight. What you may do, again, this is my opinion, I think it's clear it's true, and turn off all the fires. The fire in the oven, the fire on top, everything gets turned off. Once everything is turned off, no more problem of Shem Yechata Bikakol, because there's no fire. Of course, there's no fire, it's going to very quickly turn cold also. But there is some significant amount of residual heat. Residual heat, which is there in the oven, because you know it was hot for so many hours, it was 375, whatever it is, so turn off the fire, there's still a significant amount of residual heat. So you may, just before Shabbos, put whatever you want, whether it be the pot of soup, or whether it be the pot of chicken, or the pot of kugel, whatever it may be, in that oven, with the fire turned off, still a significant amount of residual heat, and then it stays as hot as it stays. All depends how quickly you come home from shul and have it. I can tell you though that I burned my tongue on the chicken soup with this system. Yes.
Can you have
soup
on the horizontal?
It's a different question. You want to be able to leave the food in the oven from before Shabbos, and then remove it and serve it. So there are two issues. One is an issue of fish of Havara. That the thermostat may make the flame get higher or go on. That is a potential problem. So we're not even up to that. Forget about that. How did you leave the food on the fire in the first place? So the answer we call what? Shehiya. We mentioned before at the very beginning that Shehiya what? Shehiya is permissible if it's, what do we say? It's permissible what? It's permissible. If what? If it's kamachol, ben drusoy. Well, hold on a second. That, 1 second. Slowly. Oh, here we go. One thing I forgot to talk about, reminded by looking at it. Number one, the blep covered the fire. Even though we no longer adjust the fire at the fire, we adjust with the knobs. Nevertheless, according to most poskim, the original, the original heker, the type of which the chazal required, namely covering, applies even to our stoves. And therefore, although you might argue, there were some big rabbanim will argue, and today instead of covering the fire, cover the handles. We don't pass in that way. We pass in that you have to cover the fire. You don't have to cover the handles. However, Ida writes in the same, he thinks it's preferable to have a crooked left, you know, the one that covers the fire and then bends down in front to cover the handles too.
You don't have to cover
the handles? Chazal require you to cover the flame. Dayenu.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously the reason we have to cover the flame was that's what you would have stoked the coals and stoking the flame.
Some say. But the bottom line is that we pass the halacha. The most important thing is to cover, not the hands, but the fire itself. My bearing back a little bit. One thing which we did not discuss at all, this is one in particular to discuss now, and that is called the question of smicha. I'm not going to explain smicha here, but smicha means the word samuch, which means near. Near a fire. The Gemara tells us that as far as shehiyah is concerned, smicha is permissible. What's the logic? Since the whole purpose of the prohibition of shehiyah is you may stoke the coals, heat the pot, but it won't help because the pot's not on the fire. It's off to the side. So therefore, we're not afraid to stoke the coals if the pot's not on the fire, but it's off to the side. Okay. What about smicha when it comes to hachazara? It is a dispute. Goes back to what we spoke about at the very beginning. Why is there a prohibition of hachzara? If the prohibition of hachzara is nirek imavasho, then probably we should be prohibited. If it's shem yichadu b'gecholim, then it shouldn't apply. The same does not apply to the shehiyah. Is that clear? No. There is no... There's no prohibition of shehiyah by smicha. That's a din which is found in the Farish, in the Gemara. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as well. By Akzara. What about smicha by Akzara? Is that permissible or prohibited? So the Shulchan Aruch adopts a stricter view. Akzara by smicha is prohibited. However, the Ramah seems to adopt a more lenient view that Hachzara by Smicha is permissible. Seems to me that once again, what we're talking about, the exact same dispute repeating over and over and over again. Why is Hachzara prohibited? Is Hachzara prohibited because of what? Nearer to the Basha. So it's also you can't cook off to the side, as long as it's cooked, and also you can't cook, it's no good. But if Shemi had the bigger column, it wouldn't apply. We already saw a number of different disputes which they seem to be consistent. Remember, one we discussed about Erev Shabbos, one is about a boy, one is about smicha, one is about there and other kedera. All these four things we might depend upon this issue of what the prohibition of hachazor. Yes. Turn on the fire, some people cook off to the side. Apparently, I can't find no other reason to prohibit it. That far, it's fully out of lettuce though. It's still hot enough to... Okay, you're asking a very good question, but I have the only best answer I can give you. I'm not sure which one it is. It's something, it's one of those two. I don't know. I want to get over here for fourth quarter. Now. Those who are even lenient with respect to the Sina Mechadash when it comes to smicha, and some disagree. What's that dispute? It's very important. Why is the Sina Mechadash also on Shabbos? If it's also because of Nirek of Avashel, then it's also even those who hold the Hachzara because of Shemi Yechat, they might agree that Nesina Mechadosh is because of Nirek Mevashel. And therefore, when it comes to Smicha, that's the acid test. They permit Hachzara by Smicha and prohibit Nesina Mechadosh by Smicha. That's part of the Mishnah Berurah, that opinion. Others yet maintain that even Nesina Mechadosh is permissible by Smicha. They say the only Xera is Shemi Yechat, the Bekacholim. They don't accept Nirek Mevashel at all. This is very important for the fundamentals. The reason I'm discussing all this is because of the question we raised before, which is, what's the story, yes? What's the story with sliding things around the left? What gives with this? You slide here, slide there, back and forth. Well, let's analyze it logically, okay? The food that's directly on top of the fire, which is covered by a left, that's called al ha'esh. with a blast, no question. It's still called Allah Ish. The question is as follows now. The food which is, or the pots which are not directly on the fire, but rather they are off to the side a little bit. They're off to the side a little bit. What halachic status do they have?
It's
still on the blech. It's still yatzo lettuce bowl. It's yatzo lettuce bowl. You burn it. You pull your hand back, but it's not directly on the fire. What halachic status does this have? Is this called smika? Is this called smika? Or is this called al ha'esh? Take a poll. Is it called smicha or is it called al ha'esh? The election that was last week. Well, let's analyze it. We mentioned before that there are people who are sliding things all over the place in the conversation. They move it off, they move it off, they bring it back. How do you justify that? If you say it's Allah Aish Tomo, it's Allah Aish, no problem. You move it from this part of the Aish to that part of the Aish, no problem. However, if you view the parts of the blech which are not directly on the fire as being what we call smicha, then there'd be a major question. Are you allowed to move something which was in the status of smicha and now put it there on the fire directly? Yes or no? May you move from the frying pan to the fire? I mean, that's what it really is. When you may move from smicha to Allah Eish, or may you not? That's a very serious question. My personal view, my own personal view, is that it's a no-no. You may not do it. You may, in my opinion, I have a proof to it. If I'm right, and if we justify the custom, which was very prevalent, of sliding things all around the blech, then you're left with one inescapable conclusion. Namely, the entire blech, at least the part that you have to let us know, is considered al ha'esh. Which is where I am partial to that point of view. Because as I told you before, my opinion is that the move from a situation of smicha to a situation of alahesh is prohibited. And therefore the only way I can justify sliding around that we have is to assume that what? That it's considered to be alahesh proper. So I'm partial to that particular point of view. Although I have to tell you, I have to be intellectually honest, the Chazon Ish argues with me. What can I do? The Chazon Ish says he thinks that the movement from a situation of smicha to a situation of Allah Eish, he says, is permissible. So he says from smicha to Allah Eish is okay. So if the Chazon Ish is right, that from smicha to Allah Eish is permissible, then one can maintain that the black at large and walk the fire does have a status of smicha, and nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, it would still be permissible to move it from what to what? from the that part of it off the fire to on the fire. That's how the Chazon Ish could possibly maintain. Possibly.
So he said that the Chazon Ish said that smicha.
Well, you did it good.
No.
I also don't believe it, but the Chazon Ish said it.
I'm just surprised that the Chazon Ish
said it. Well, he said it. Yes? If the black is, if the part of the black which is Yatza lettuce bone, it would not be allowed, because that's called, you're taking something which is in a fridge or a freezer, you're putting it on the black, and it would not be allowed. You're asking a different question. Ah, I now understand your question. She's asking a fantastic question. What happens if you treat the other part of the blech as smicha, not as alahesh? Then according to one view which you mentioned earlier, it would be permissible to take the challah, right? Cook a little chicken, whatever you want, from the fridge, and put it on the blech, not on top of the fire directly, but put it on the blech on the part which is not directly on the fire, on the ground that it's what we call Hachzara B'Smicha, and according to some authorities anyway, Hachzara B'Smicha would be permissible. People do that? Yeah. We'll find out. Yes, we talked about it. Hold on. Three areas of the blef. From the Ida writes as follows. Ida claims in his sefer that you may not take food from the fridge and put it on the part of the blef which is off the fire. May not. He goes beyond that. He says it's even prohibited to put it on the part of the blef which is less than Yatza Letzbo. You have these big blefs, the four burner blef, and a slow fire in one corner. The other extreme corner could be so lukewarm, you can put your hand on it. Leave it there indefinitely. Even if that be the case, I mean, Ida prohibits it. Why? Because the Magonishu says, well, since we don't exactly know where the borderline is, where's Yatzo Lettuce, where's not Yatzo Lettuce, if we allow this, it could cause a disaster. People are going to, by mistake, put it in the wrong place. That's his logic. Part of the blend, there are three parts to a blend. There's a fire. There's a fire, and then there's the another concentric circle, which is Yatzo Lettuce Go, and then there's the corners, which may be even less than Yatzo Lettuce Go. So if I was afraid, you put it on section 3, which is intrinsically permissible, he claims, then the next thing you know, they'll put it on section 2, which is not permissible. That's what he says. Water, guess what happens to some of that water in that little thing? Goes to the main body of the earth.
Like, as it comes out.
Well, some of it comes out, and then there's an equivalent amount, some amount goes into the main body, and that may be reaching out to Lesbos for the first time, which to my mind is not allowed. And to make it worse, after we spoke about it a week or two ago, when Yaman built the B'nai Brak for his idea, I also think it may be correct. Even if it is Yatza Lesbo, but still, if it's what, not hot enough to make coffee, it might be a problem. So once again, you run into trouble. So when I learned Shabbos, whatever it was, I think it was many years ago, when I learned Yeshiva, I broke my urn for that reason. We had an urn like that. I took out that indicator and I threw it out. And there was a hole. That's a problem. So I took a screw, which was used to hold it in place. I put the screw back in without the indicator. So the water got a little bit rusty. I don't know what happened, it just broke. So I have another one which has no indicator. See, the more sophisticated you get, the more problems that we have in our lives. Okay, see you next week. In the first place, as long as you move it off the fire, it's okay.